I could buy you a leotard if you'd like. Written by Omniforce the Company. Read by Chaos Kill. Summary. Who needs healthy relationships when you have Judy Shepherd Missed Jazzercise? Damien did not care that his brothers were currently downstairs, eating his favorite food, watching his favorite movie with all of his pets, and Jonathan Kent, when Damien was up in his room all alone. Nope. Because if he cared, he would go down there and join them. He would go down there to Grayson's wide open arms, kisses and warm cuddles, and Alfred's fresh cooking, and his pet's affection, and Jason's hair ruffles, and, when he thought nobody was looking, a quick peck to Damien's temple. Tim's bickering only to drag Damien to the seat next to him and hug him against his side, and John's idiotic jokes, and his constant bragging about being taller but younger, and his stupid way of cheering Damien up no matter how upset he was. No, he would not be going down there, because that was exactly what they wanted. They were purposefully bringing all of Damien's favorite things to lure him out of his room, and Damien was not a quitter. They were trying to drag him out, just as they had been for a couple days now, ever since that one night after patrol. Damien's father had said he needed to go to school in person rather than online because you need more healthy human relationships, Damien. First of all, that was such a hypocritical thing to say. It was Bruce who sat in a cave, staring at case files and drinking coffee all day. Not Damien. Damien had plenty of relationships. He had his brothers and his sister Kaz. He had Stephanie and Barbara and John and Colin and Duke and Maya and Alfred and Selena. He had plenty of healthy human relationships. Thank you very much. Plus, Damien didn't need any more people because, although he would die a horrible death before admitting it, he was happy with the people around him already, and he didn't want that to change. So, in retaliation, Damien showed his father he didn't need any human relationships at all. Period. Nothing. He locked himself in his room intent on proving his point. Because human relationships were for weaklings. That's where John came in. But this isn't a human relationship, Drake had argued through the door. John is Kryptonian. Yeah, John agreed, and Damien could practically see his nodding vigorously. Come on, Dee, this is stupid. You're stupid, Damien had mumbled, and then he and John proceeded to have an entire argument from either side of the door. Eventually, Dick had managed to drag John away from the door, and Damien could only guess that was when they started to plan out things that would get Damien to leave his room, hence all of his favorite stuff. Ha! But jokes on them. Because Damien didn't need any of that. Nope, not at all. He did not need such simple things. He was taught to overcome his bodily needs and his wants. Sure, it was a bit harder now that he was living with his father, and he had a family that had made sure he had everything he could ever want, but that didn't mean Damien couldn't do it. He could. He would show them. Plus, he had not come into this unprepared. He had obviously brought up lots of food, enough to last him a few months. And if it took longer than that, then Damien knew how to go without food for a while. He had planned this out beforehand, and had brought in everything he needed. The one thing that he had not accounted for, however, was something to keep him occupied. In his defense, he didn't think he needed anything. After all, on missions in the League, Damien would go weeks without food, and entertainment was not even in his mind. It never had been, but apparently his time with his father's family had weakened him. So here he was, laying on his floor of all places, resisting the urge to throw open the door and be welcomed downstairs to all of his favorite things by his favorite people. It was embarrassingly difficult to resist that urge. He heard a knock on his door and resisted the urge to groan. "Hey, sweetheart," came his eldest brother's voice. "What do you want?" Damien asked angrily, mainly because Dick's voice was so gentle and sweet and almost melted Damien's entire will to stay in his room in seconds. "I want to hold you," Dick hummed, "but I can't do that if you're a whole door away from me." "Oh no, a whole door. The horror," Damien scoffed. "It is horrible, because I haven't been able to hold my baby for 3 days. "I am not a baby," Damien protested, crossing his arms. "You're my baby, and I miss you. You're talking to me right now. And I miss your voice," Dick continued. "You are talking to me right now. And so do Jason and Tim, and John wants to see you," Grayson finished. "Well, too bad. I'm not leaving till Father sees my point," Damien insisted. Damien heard Richard sigh through the door. "Honey, just because you don't want to go to school doesn't mean you can lock yourself away. This isn't healthy." "I'm not leaving till Father sees my point," Damien repeated, unwilling to stand down. "Dammy, he already knows that you don't want to go to school. So do I, but I also know that you can't stay in there further. Here, I'll tell you what. If you come out, I'll talk to him, okay?" Richard attempted to convince. But Damien knew it wouldn't do much good. Not only was his father an absolute stubborn piece of crap, but Damien also knew that Richard wanted him to attend impersonal school as well. He knew that Richard was on their father's side in this argument. So, Damien did not accept. No matter how much he wanted to, no matter how lonely it was in his room, and no matter how it stung knowing that his brothers were hanging out without him, despite it being Damien's choice to be excluded. "Come on, kiddo, we have all your favorite stuff downstairs. It's pretty great, but it would be better with you there," Dick told him. "It's pretty cold, too. I'm sure a cuddle would warm me up. And I'm pretty sure Jason is going to finish the sushi if you don't come down soon." Damien did not move, his pride too big to be persuaded. "I'm not leaving," Damien stated, firm in his decision. "Baby, please," Dick pleaded. Damien refused to respond, knowing full well if he said something, it would be an agreement. Damien listened as his brother lingered for a moment and then retreated back downstairs. Damien couldn't help the sad feeling that entered in his brother's absence. He attempted to stop thinking about his brother's warm embraces and how he hadn't seen John in a while. And they could have so much fun in patrol together, just like they used to. And how much he missed having Titus with him at all times, and who knew the dog would be much happier out there freely than cooped up with him in here, and how Bad Cow was probably lonely. Stop, he ordered himself. This was miserable. Damien decided he couldn't just think like this. It would drive him insane, or worse, drive him out of his room. He decided to find at least some source of entertainment, even though he was ashamed to have fallen to his childish boredom. Turns out, he didn't have much stuff in his room. He had his katana, which he had just finished distracting himself with by training, and he had his art supplies, but he had also just used those. Damien wanted something different. Damien basically turned his room inside out by looking for something, anything, to distract him. He opened every drawer, looked through every crevice, and searched under his bed. Still, he found nothing. That was until he looked through the old box in his closet. Damien had never looked through it before, as it had already been there when he was given his room. Most of it was filled with paperwork, birthday cards, and old letters. But Damien found something. Something that might just work. It was a DVD. Jazzercise Better Body Workout, it read. It had dust all over it, but Damien figured it was better than nothing. Once he cleaned the dust off, he placed it in the old DVD player that was connected to his TV and waited. He watched the copyright stuff roll by, the medical warning roll by, and finally the show started. Hi, I'm Judy Shepherd Bissett, the founder of Jazzercise, it started. I want to welcome you to Titan Tones, our 15-minute muscle toning workout that is part of the Jazzercise Better Body series. Damien considered the screen as Judy and at least a dozen other people began exercising. Damien thought about just sitting down and watching, both because he had just finished training and was exhausted, and because he actually enjoyed the jazz music that was in the background. Eventually, Damien decided to join in, and he followed along with what Judy was doing. Tim was absolutely done with his baby brother's crap. He was at college when he got a call from Bruce telling him that Damien decided to distance himself from every human being, all because he wanted to prove a point. He was in freaking English class when he had to get up, leave, and make the 2-hour drive back to Wayne Manor to try and knock some sense into the gremlin that he called brother. Because, of course, Damien decided to lock himself away from every single person who loved him just because he didn't want to go to school. Because Damien Wayne was nothing if not petty. And Tim Drake was nothing if not a protective older brother who was not having this. They had been attempting to lure him out of his room for 3 days, and nothing was working. Tim was not going to sit around and hope that Damien realized how stupid he was. Tim stirred from where he, John, and his brothers were pretending to be having a good time in hopes that Damien would come down and made his way towards the hallway. Where are you going? John called after him. To get the brat out of his room, Tim answered, pausing his stride. Dick sighed and slumped further into his chair. He looked exhausted, dark bags under his eyes. He hadn't gotten much sleep recently. None of them had. All too focused on knocking some sense into their little brat. I already tried. He's not coming out, Dick explained. Then I guess I'll just have to go in, Tim shrugged. John jumped up, looking eager. I'll come with you. I can help. Tim pursed his lips. I don't know, kid, He might not be comfortable with more than one person. Tim didn't get to finish his sentence before John was walking past him, his stride confident and optimistic. "We'll get him out, I'm sure of it," John promised. "Hurry up and bring him down. Tell him I'm gonna finish the sushi if he ain't quick," Jason called after them, two whole rolls already stuffed in his mouth. Dick swatted his arm and crossed his arms, concern evident on his face. "I have no idea how you can eat right now. Our baby brother is all alone and he's refusing to let us help him." Jason just shrugged. "I'm hungry, okay?" Dick just shook his head and turned to Tim. "Bring our boy back." "I will," Tim promised, giving a mutual nod to Jason and turning down the hallway. Instead of stopping at the stairs, however, he continued downwards towards the door like a man on a mission. John scampered after him. "Where are we going?" "Through his window," Tim informed, pushing the front door open and wincing at the cold breeze. Knowing Damien, he probably boarded his door up. Because why wouldn't his brother do that? After all, his baby brother was incredibly extra, just like their dad. Sometimes it paid off, like on patrol. There had been multiple instances where Damien's dramatics had saved their lives, but in cases like this, Tim found himself hating it. Because this whole thing was just dramatic, wasn't it? But Damien wouldn't be Damien without his dramatic flair, so Tim couldn't complain much. "What if the window isn't unlocked?" John asked, floating his way up as Tim scaled the side of the house to get to Damien's window. "Then I guess we're breaking in," Tim shrugged, somehow not losing his footing by doing so. "But then what? How will he sleep in a room with no window?" "He'll just sleep with me," Tim decided. "What if you won't come out?" John asked, sounding incredibly young. Tim understood, as he too was worried, even though he would never admit it. "You have super strength," Tim reminded. "Use it." John nodded, looking at the window in determination. "Yes, sir." Tim stopped when he too reached the window. Tim slid his fingers under, surprised to find it unlocked. Damien never left his window unlocked. Tim ignored the brotherly protectiveness that clawed at his throat. Damien had probably mistook it for being locked already. Or at least, that's what he hoped. He could tell that John noticed it too by the way he straightened as if preparing for a fight. Tim slid the window and stuck his head in. Any words that were in his throat died at the sight before him. All the lights in the room were turned off. The only source of light was the TV. Tim watched in utter confusion as Jazzercise played on the screen, each person on the screen in a pastel leotard. "Good. Remember, if you feel a burn, just take a minute and rejoin us once it's gone," Judy's voice spoke from the screen. Damien was laying on the floor in a starfish position, a family-sized bag of hot Cheetos in hand, crunching away as he watched on. Tim was floored just watching the scene in front of him unfold. He didn't know whether to be more concerned that Damien hadn't noticed them yet or about everything else that was going on. Unlike the leotards in the video, Damien always dressed in grey sweatpants and a Nightwing hoodie. "I could buy you a leotard if you'd like," Tim spoke. Damien sluggishly turned to face him, not even looking surprised to see Tim and John at his window. "Drake. Kent," he greeted. "Damien," Tim returned, climbing into his little brother's room. "What are you doing in here, Dee?" John asked, floating his way into the room. "Proving a point," Damien answered, stuffing a Cheeto into his mouth. "I don't think this is proving much, kiddo," Tim spoke, looking at the art supplies littering Damien's bed and the half-finished drawing on his nightstand. Tim sighed, walking over to his brother and leaning down to grab a hot Cheeto for himself. "Damien, you do know it is impossible for humans to go without other human interactions, right?" Tim decided to lay down beside his baby brother, watching John do the same. "Yeah, and human-Kryptonian interactions are important too," John agreed. Damien didn't say anything, only threw another Cheeto into his mouth. "So you're just going to watch them exercise?" John asked, taking a deep breath to relieve some of the heat from a Cheeto. "Yes, and these aren't even hot," Damien responded. "Yes, they are," John protested. "No, they're not," Damien denied. "Well, I think they are," John argued, taking one more small Cheeto. "T," was Damien's answer. He hadn't taken his eyes off the screen, still staring blankly at the TV. "This is stupid, Damien," Tim decided. "You are probably one of the most intelligent people I know, but you do the stupidest things." "Yeah, but you always come through in the end. That's why we are pals," John agreed, playfully bumping shoulders with Damien. "Yeah," Tim agreed. "But right now, we're still in the stupid phase. You know, Jason is going to eat all the sushi." "I know," Damien sighed. "Dick told me." "He's stress eating," Tim hummed. It was almost funny, the different things they all did under stress. Tim himself had a few weird habits when faced with certain situations. However, he knew what Bruce would much rather have Damien healthy rather than in school. They all would. "Who cares what Bruce said? We both know he's probably not going to send you to school anyways, not if you really don't want to. He's not going to force you to do anything that would really make you uncomfortable." Damien didn't deny Tim's words, telling him that Damien already knew that. The little brat. "So," Tim pushed, "let's head downstairs and get some real human interactions." "And Kryptonian interactions," John added. Tim snorted. "And Kryptonian interactions." Damien seemed to think about that for a moment, probably fighting between his pride and Tim's words. Damien made his decision when he gave a big sigh. "Whatever," he mumbled. Tim immediately smiled in victory and gave John a high five. When, despite his agreement, Damien didn't make a move, Tim scooped him up and made his way towards the door. John followed after him, rambling on about the little things that happened while Damien was in his room. Tim was grateful that he didn't have to scale back down the manor wall, especially with Damien in his arms. He was also grateful that Damien hadn't put up a fight. Tim suspected that Damien hadn't been as fine with being all alone as he had let on. The poor kid looked tired and practically melted into Tim's touch as they made their way down the stairs. Damien didn't even protest being held, which went to show how much he really needed the physical contact, despite what he claimed. When Dick spotted them, he practically lit up. Tim hardly had time to blink before Dick had run across the room, snatched Damien up, and was cooing as if Damien were a baby. Tim pursed his lips in annoyance, because Dick could have at least asked to take Damien. Tim was holding him fast, after all. Tim was the one who brought Damien down. He should be the one holding him. Tim silently grumbled, and Jason leaned back into the couch in amusement as he watched Dick squeeze the life out of Damien and pepper kisses to his face. "Oh hey, you got the gremlin," Jason noted, swallowing down his last bite of food. "Are you hungry?" Dick cooed, holding Damien as if he hadn't seen him in years. "There's still sushi. Here, let's go get some." "Sorry, man. Sushi's gone," Jason apologized, wincing at the disbelieving look Dick sent him. "Jason Peter Todd," Dick scolded, and Jason scrambled towards the stairs to get away from an angry older brother. "What? I was hungry,"